As we make our way back to your seats, and if you would like, to be seated for just a minute. As you make your way back to your seats, if you want to be seated for just a minute, I want to share some things before we come to our worship and song with you this morning that God has laid on my heart for quite some time. And I've been waiting for the appropriate time, and I feel like this week is the appropriate time to share them with you. And that is thinking about why do we sing songs in church? A lot of times we think it's kind of an outdated concept, singing songs in church. And I'm guilty of this myself too, although not as much because I get up here in front of you, but a lot of times when we sing very quietly, very, quietly would be a good description. And so this morning I wanted to share some passages of Scripture about singing songs of praise to God. And the first thing I want to look at is, what should we sing about? When we sing songs, what should we be singing about? What is the purpose of our singing to God? In 1 Chronicles 16, 23 and 24, it says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among the people." When we sing to the Lord, our song should be about the good news of His glory. God's glory is so awesome. It is so wonderful. It's worth singing about. It's worth lifting up our praise about. Psalms 59, 16 and 17 says, "But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. For you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises, for God is my defense, my God of mercy." Maybe you have been to church for a long time. Maybe you have lived a long time and you have seen God work in your life. You have seen God, His salvation at work in your life. You've seen His mercy at work in your life. You see Him take you through many times of struggle, times of trouble. The Bible says that our song is a good response of thanksgiving to God. It's a way to show God that we are thankful. We appreciate what He does in our life, His salvation for us. Why should we sing? We should sing because of His mercy and goodness to us. Psalms 13, 5 and 6 says, "But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me." You know, atheism doesn't have any songs. There's no hymns to atheism. They have nothing to sing about. As Christians, God has shown mercy to us. And He has put His grace, His mercy in our heart. There's the old song, "There's within my heart a melody, and that melody is love." That's what God has done for us, and it is worth telling the world about in song. We should sing because of His mercy and goodness to us. We should also sing to follow the example of Christ. Christ, when He was on this earth, when He walked this earth, He sang hymns of praise to God. Matter of fact, on the night that He instituted the Last Supper, the night before He went to the cross and paid the penalty for our own sin, He sang a hymn. It's recorded in Mark chapter 14, verse 26. It says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. At the end of the Last Supper meal, They did the first service of communion, and then they sang a hymn together, and then they went out to the Mount of Olives. So we have here an example of Christ, of singing a hymn. We also should sing because we want to show God our thankfulness. And we could probably read most of the Bible as an example of this, but a few passages is Psalms 9, 1 and 2, which says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Our praise should be from our whole heart. So many times we come and we think, oh, our praise is not from our whole heart. It's maybe from a small portion of one side of the bottom of our heart. Our praise should be with our whole heart. Psalms 100 says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all of you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. When we sing songs in church, on the radio, we are singing before God Almighty. And He hears your heart more than your words. He hears your heart. And what is His response? Is it responding to a heart that is worshiping with full of praise? Or is it responding to a half-hearted jest? Standing here singing a song that we've sang before, thinking about something else, not really connecting with our praise to the Lord. We should sing because of His mercy and goodness to us. We should sing to follow the example of Christ. We should sing to show our thankfulness. We should sing because it is a good thing to do. Psalms 147:1 says, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. When we sing praise to God, it is a good thing. It might seem like an outdated function. In a lot of bigger churches, there's a big band up front, and they sing to you, and you listen. That's not the way it should be. When we sing, it's not us up here singing to you. I'm singing to God. You're singing to God. We are singing our praise to God. It's collective worship. How should we sing? How should we sing when we come to church? One of the ways that we should sing is to shout joyfully. Shout! Shout joyfully! Because we're excited. We're happy that we are here in the house of God, learning, praising, trusting. Psalms 95, 1 through 3 says, oh, come let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. We are singing our praise to God Almighty, most holy Lord. And it should be done with great effort. We should also sing with many instruments. Psalms 150, 1 through 6 says, praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet, with the sound, with praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I do understand this is a Baptist church, so we might not do the dancing part this morning. You know, I remember we lived in Kansas City, and we went to a Baptist church there, and they hired a worship pastor that was a black man from the, I'm pretty sure he's from the South Arkansas, that area, and oh, he would always be trying to get us to, hey, let's clap, you know, hey, if you guys want to move while you're singing, hey, that's okay. Did you know that David danced when he was singing? He'd always be trying to get us to move, to clap, right? And what do? Right? We're Baptists. We don't do that. But we should be excited. This is not a funeral that we're coming to. This is a worship service. We should sing, shout joyfully. We should sing with many instruments. And this one's my favorite. We should sing like we're in the car, all by ourselves. Like we're in the car all by ourselves. At the top of our lungs, like we're on stage and there's nobody else there except for our fan club that are just shouting and screaming, right? That's how we should sing in church. You mean in front of other people? Yeah, I mean in front of other people, that's how you should sing, at the top of your lungs. I'm going to tell you a story in 2 Samuel chapter 6. It says, then David danced before the Lord with all of his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. Now, a linen ephod is something that the priests wore in worship, but it was also something that other people wore as well. It's not the high priest's ephod, but it's kind of like a... I guess probably like a dress, like a lot of their clothes were back then, but a gown of a sort. And so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And so they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. And then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And then David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings. He blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And then he distributed among all the people and among the whole multitude of Israel, both of the women and the men, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. And so all the people departed, everyone to his house. And then David returned to bless his household. Now you see, in those times, the king's family would not have gone out to this ceremony. So the king's family would have been held back, okay? And so David has been out worshiping before God's people, dancing around like a mad fool, worshiping God with all of his heart, with all of his might, dancing, praising, and he comes home and hears his wife who saw him out the window. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. Now, she's not accusing him of taking his clothes off and exposing himself to the public. She's talking about here is not uncovering himself of all of his clothes, but uncovering himself of his kingly garments. He had taken off of his kingly garments and put on an ephod, which was more like what other people would wear. He humbled himself before God, and he sang and he danced. And she's saying to him, you looked like a fool. and acted like a fool. And she says, how glorious was the king of Israel, mocking him. And so David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father. Michal was the daughter of Saul, who chose me instead of your father and all of his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. And therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor. And therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. We should sing like we are in the car and no one is around and we are just singing to God. Because in reality, that is all that matters. When we come to church, we are coming as God's people to worship God. And that is where our heart should be. If it's worried about what my neighbor's sitting next to me, if it's worried about, oh, if I sing out of tune, my wife is going to criticize. Or, you know, hey, if I clap off beat, you know, my daughter might say, oh, stop that, right? That's not what we're worried about. We don't come here to impress people. None of us are going to try out for America's Got Talent, right? That's not what we're here for. We're here to corporately come together and sing our praise to God Most High. When should we sing? We should sing when cheerful, right? We all have wonderful times of cheer. We get a song in our heart and we start singing. James 5:13 says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. We should pray, or we should sing when we're cheerful. But we should also sing when we're in great conflict, when we don't know what to do, when our heart is torn. We should sing songs to God. Here is a wonderful story out of 2 Chronicles, one of my favorite Old Testament stories, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It says, it happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon, and with others with them besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. And then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And so Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Here this great army is coming against them. They outnumber them by far. Maybe not as much as Gideon was outnumbered, but they were greatly outnumbered. And they knew instantly that there was no way that their might, their physical strength, could ward off this army. And so they immediately turned to God. They came to God. They asked God for help. Then in verse 14 it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them, and they will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. And you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord and worshiped the Lord. And the Lord, then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord of God of Israel with voices soft and meek and barely distinguishable. No. They stood up to sing praises of the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Why? Because they believed the message from God. When you have a huge army marching against you and you don't believe God is going to save you, you're not going to sing loud and high. You're going to, we better start planning a different strategy here because I'm not sure this one's going to work out. Right? But they believed God. And so they sang loud and high. Then they arose early in the morning and they went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, as they're going to battle, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now, I did not serve in the military. So I never got a strategy manual. I was never a commander, so I didn't get the army rules and regulations. But I'm guessing in all of the training of the United States military, there is not one military strategy which says, when you go out into battle, send to the front people to sing to God Most High and sing, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." I'm guessing that can be found nowhere in our manual of strategies for war. But the children of Israel believed God, and they sang to him as if they had already been saved, as if they had already experienced his salvation. Verse 22 says, "Now when they begin to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another." And so when Judah came to a place looking over the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were the dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. They went out to war, singing praise to God. By the time they got to the battle was already over. Everybody was dead. And so they picked up all the loot and went home. What an amazing story. What an amazing God that we have, that he fights our battles for us, for those who trust in his name. We should praise. We should sing to God in times of great triumph, in times of happiness, in times of joy, in times of struggle, times of conflict. Indeed, we should sing all day long. We should sing among the family of believers. Psalms 22, 22 and 25 says, "I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him." We should sing in church, not because it makes people feel uncomfortable, not because it's something we've always done. We should sing in church because we are come here to worship God, and we should sing with all of our heart. To worship a God who deserves our praise. We spend more time talking to other people about things that do not deserve our praise. Our favorite football team, our favorite whatever else, you know, food. We spend so much time, our favorite memory of our grandchildren from this week, right? But we need to spend time praising God who makes all of this possible, who is worthy of our praise. Psalm 71:8 says, "Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day." Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, you are the creator of heaven and earth. You are majestic and holy and worthy. And Lord, so often we are so distracted. We are so looking for the next thing. But Lord, help us to remember your salvation. Help us to remember that we do trust in you. Help us to not be so distracted by what other people think of us or by what's going to happen after church today, that we forget to spend time doing the very thing we came here to do, which is to share our worship with you, to thank you that you are an awesome God and that you deserve our uninhibited praise with all of our might. Lord, I pray that when we stand up to worship you, that we would not think about what other people think around us, but our heart would be in tune with yours. And our heart would be expressing the joy that would cause us to maybe even look foolish to other people, but that your heart would be blessed because we're praising you with all of our strength and all of our soul and all of our heart. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name.